Traditionalism at 60. Trad Godfathers Part 1. Author's note. This essay was originally published in 2025, the 60th anniversary of the end of the Second Vatican Council, as His Holiness Pope Francis was declining in health. We're republishing it this year for the new year of Jesus Christ's reign, for the new Pope Leo, and we're going to be publishing further essays from other authors in this series shortly, God willing. He is not a real trad because I heard him say XYZ. The trads promote schism. Then I came to tradition and my life has never been the same. Unite the clans. These are all vernacular phrases that Catholics say which need a little clarification. The first two are dangerous because they lack truth, meaning they are ambiguous, and charity, which means that they are not assuming the best about doubtful intentions. That's what St. Thomas tells us to do in Secunda Secundi, question 60, article 4. Unless we have evident indications of a person's wickedness, we ought to deem him good by interpreting for the best whatever is doubtful about him, end quote from St. Thomas. Now, the last two are ambiguous but harmless, especially unite the clans. Now, in fact, the last one is a phrase coined by Mr. Michael Matt, trad godfather among these United States, and forms the basis for our editorial stance here at 1 Peter 5. This essay will attempt to provide a little clarification. After 3 years have passed since our editorial stance and the formation of our editorial board at 1 Peter 5, and after we have begun to vigorously investigate our editorial priorities, you can click the link in the article for a list of those editorial priorities, which are what govern the way that I handle submissions. We've also founded our lay sodalities, the Crusade of Eucharistic Reparation, the Fatima Icon Project, the Fasting Sodality, as well as our confraternity under our patrons, Blessed Emperor Carl, St. Maximilian Kolbe, Our Lady of Fatima. And I have also gone on pilgrimage to consecrate our apostolate to Sister Wilhelmina. And as the Francis Pontificate was winding down last year, the 60th anniversary of the closing of Vatican II, it is an auspicious time to reflect on the mission of 1 Peter 5 and its place within the greater trad movement. To do that, I'm going to attempt to define in this essay what are essential non-negotiables of the trad movement, which help us understand who are the clans of the trad movement which we seek to unite. Historical context of Unite the Clans. Our editorial stance tries to summarize some of the history of our movement, and it makes mention of critical focus that we've tried to achieve here at 1 Peter 5, which is filial piety to our trad godfathers. This has become critically important because many young people have joined the movement under Summorum and found themselves struggling after Traditionis. Meanwhile, the old guard of the movement, the older generation, has faced Traditionis with a smile, knowing what it was like in the 70s and 80s for the Latin Mass. For more on that, you can see Mrs. Danielle Heckenkamp's article, Cradle Trad Catholic, We Have Every Reason to Hope. She grew up in the trad movement. Now, but more than that, the internet has a problem with promoting serotonin rewards by means of shallow thinking. In other words, the internet is, ironically, designed to obscure the truth. Whoever has the most emotional and sensational words, whatever is trending, is what dominates the World Wide Web. What is trending is usually what is literally half true and half false, more or less. Unless we're talking about absolute black and white truths like Jesus is king, most of the things said by Catholics in sound bites and memes lack the precision necessary to tackle most topics. especially in an unprecedented doctrinal, spiritual, political, social, and economic crisis, as we have seen with what Sister Lucia called diabolical disorientation. So that's where our online journal is trying to step in and provide something for free to everyone, where we can really dig deep and find the whole truth, not a slogan. When we speak of the history of the trad movement, and especially its various clans, there's no room for an easy, catchy meme to describe the reality of what we're talking about. Just like most ecumenical councils and their aftermaths, this council, Vatican II, has had its share of total chaos after the event. In some ways, it's worse than most ecumenical councils, and in some ways, it's better. For example, no Christians murdering each other. But like every ecumenical council, both historically and doctrinally, it's anything but simple and memeable. What does this have to do with the godfathers of tradition? Here's how our editorial priorities puts it. Now, quoting here from our editorial priorities. Quote, "We want to publish stories of our trad godfathers. For instance, the Chetus Internationalis Patrum, Father Arnold Gary Gulgrange, the Hildebrands, Lefebvre, Sr., Oliveira, Gores, and more. Along with our patrons, we want to promote the zeal of our trad godfathers in the movement. A new generation of traditionalists is rising, but they need to be connected with their own trad godfathers who came before them and were fighting the good fight since 1962 and before. They face darker times than we do now. How did they get through it? What did they do? What were their successes and failures? What is the wisdom they can pass on to us? Recent historical studies by Chiron and Porfiri are of note here." End quote. So you can click on the links. There's Yves Chiron. He has a history of the trad movement. Aurelio Porfiri also has a history of the trad movement. The thing about our trad godfathers is that their intellects were not stunted by the internet. They produced articles, books, lectures, and met in person to promote their views. This led among themselves to a real intellectual dialogue and scholastic style debate among brothers, like the Hildebrands Roman Forum. In other words, there was an organic uniting of the clans in a charitable intellectual exchange because they were, one, traditional, and two, not hindered intellectually by the technocracy that we face. Moreover, having a traditionally Catholic Weltanschauung, they understood that their movement was brand new. It really happened yesterday in terms of the history of the church. Therefore, there was bound to be disagreements, even vehement disagreements. But it would not be traditional to absolutize my opinion over yours in a movement in the history of the church that just began, quote unquote, yesterday. Our trad godfathers understood that the unprecedented iconoclasm occasioned by Vatican II was scattering all good and faithful Catholics, and the traditionalists were all in a war on the same side. In a war, there are bound to be differences of opinions when planning the defense and counterattack. Our fathers saw the bigger picture of the eventual triumph of tradition. They understood who were the true enemies, not fellow trads, not even non-trads yet faithful Catholics, but rather the neo-modernist iconoclasts who sought to destroy the Latin Mass. The enemy would quickly snuff out the trad movement if one trad soldier began a bitter fight with another trad soldier about when, how, and by what means they would attack the enemy. Our trad godfathers were cunning warriors. Their heroes were the Crusaders, the Vandeans, and the Cristeros. They understood that if the enemy could divide the trads into infighting, the movement would quickly be destroyed. They were facing persecution everywhere in almost every diocese. So it was easy for them, when they met, to be united with each other, despite varying degrees of disagreements. This is the historical framework of Unite the Clans. It's not surprising that a layman like Mr. Michael Matt came up with this concept. The Matt family has been fighting for the faith for generations, even before the Second Vatican Council. But Mr. Matt also experienced the pain of Catholic division in his own family. So he has the magnanimity to see the broader picture and not get sucked into internet thinking where Christians hurl stones at each other to their eternal damnation. You can go to the article, "Don't Let Social Media Send You to Hell." In this, we look at the particular sins common on the internet, namely backbiting. End of part one. Part two, what are the trad non-negotiables? Coming soon.